Good morning. Brock tells me we're ready. That was a question. All I want to say before we get started is behind me is a lot of conversation you are glad you're not hearing. Oh, well, there you go. So, would you join me this morning in prayer? Father, we come before you today praising you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine outside. We thank you, Lord, for the warming temperatures. We thank you, Lord, for your love of us and the family that you have made us a part of. We are grateful, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We're grateful, Lord, that you have made us a part of the kingdom, your kingdom, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk in that kingdom as we should. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There are prayer cards in the chairs in front of you. You can reach up, grab one of those, fill it out, any prayer requests or praises you may have, and then Bonnie will read them after she gets them collected, and we'll send some helpers around to collect those. And not Bonnie, Jamie. Whoa, it's going to be one of those days. Jamie will read them. Bonnie will collect them. So I knew what I meant. See, some of you knew. If you have children, this is what I always told mine. Listen to what I mean, not what I say. So on that note, Memorial Day. A day in which we remember those who died for us. Which always brings back Jesus Christ who died for us, right? We need to celebrate him all the time, and we should be celebrating them all the time. Because not just with hot dogs, though those are good, and hamburgers, those are good, but just in remembering why we actually have an extra day off. So keep that in mind as we go along. Switching gears entirely, we've been looking at the beginning of Matthew, and I don't know whether I said this or not, but Matthew was a Jew. He was a tax collector who the Jews would have hated him for being that way. And the reason I'm telling you that is because today we're going to do something different than what we usually do. I'm going to ask you to go to Matthew chapter 1, find that, hold on to it, and then go to Luke chapter 1, and starting at verse 26, so it's a little bit further, so it may not be in the first pages of your Bibles. But we're going to be flipping back and forth between Matthew and Luke. So keep those two places marked if you have your Bibles with you, or open up two different apps and have it so you can switch back and forth. I also want you to take notice that as we go along in both of these Gospels, that you will see, without actually being mentioned, the Trinity. We'll talk about the Lord, Father, God the Father. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we're going to talk about Jesus. So you're going to see the Trinity right there without actually being mentioned, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, last week, we looked at the lineage of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Joseph was of the royal line of David, as was Mary, but Joseph was not the father of Jesus. And Matthew makes this abundantly clear in giving Joseph's genealogy, and by then stating that Joseph was the husband of Mary by whom Jesus was born. Joseph was the legal father of Jesus. And that's important, and they would have understood it then, because that legality of Jesus being in of Joseph's son made it legal for Jesus to be king. He was in the line of David. That is as far as the flesh and the law were concerned. So we're covering the flesh and the law. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Wow. I just can't imagine what went through Joseph's mind. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But before we go any further, let's go to Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Now in the ninth month, the angel, Gabriel, was sent from God to the city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Both Matthew and Luke make it clear that Mary is betrothed, which is an outdated term for engaged, right? But it had a little bit deeper meaning. It implied a deeper commitment or even a contract, which was usually arranged by the bride's or the parents of the bride and often accompanied by a dowry. Okay, so you're married, you're going to get engaged, and they're going to pay you to marry this woman. That's the way I look at it. Okay, that's what a dowry, so you're going to take care of her. That's what it's for. You're going to take care of my daughter. Here's some money to help you, or land, or whatever. It varied. In Jewish tradition, this would happen a year to a year and a half before they would actually come together. Okay, so they're betrothed. Mary is a virgin, and both Matthew and Luke make that clear, right? With Luke really pushing this attribute that Mary has. Now understand, I told you who Matthew was, and I meant to tell you who Luke was. Luke was a Gentile, and in case you didn't know that, know this. Luke, the Gentile, wrote most of the New Testament. Did you ever stop to think about that? A Gentile wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. So that encompasses most of the writing of the New Testament, or the most of whoever did it the most. That's the way I want to say it. I'm going to mess it up. It's really important that we understand that Mary is a virgin. It's really important that we understand that, because it shows the miraculous birth of Jesus. I mean, this is far from the normal way of becoming pregnant. Far from it. But I'm getting ahead of myself. What is being taught here? We'll keep on here. Sticking with Luke, verses 28 through 33. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Wow. I don't know about you, but an angel appearing and telling and talking to me is going to get me far more than perplexed. Okay? Let alone, I mean, some of your translations say greatly troubled. That still doesn't cover it. I mean, think about it. You're sitting there all by yourself and an angel appears. That's it. That's all it has to be. An angel appears out of nothing and is talking to you like it's an everyday conversation. Not so sure I would be very calm about it. God sent an angel to a young teenage girl who tells her she is favored and that the Lord is with her, and she is perplexed by what he says. I'm just like at awe on that. And then as I try to get across, what about the fact that he's even there? Okay, just that he's there alone is enough. Then the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Well, I'm going to glad you. Him telling me not to ain't cutting the mustard. Okay? I'm good. Like, wow, don't be afraid. And we talked about this, about fear in class this morning. But this is beyond that. This is a supernatural event that is taking place. And I'm sure that not to would make it all okay. No. No. And then he's going to say, hey, you're about to conceive in your womb and give birth to a son. 14-year-old girl. That's what they figure that she was about 14 years old. And she may have been a little younger at this point. We really don't have a good grasp on that, her age for sure. He goes on to say, basically, that her child will be the Son of God and will be king of a kingdom that has no end. Right? Isn't that what he said? And it will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, make him king, right? And he will be reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Wow. Well, then that makes it all okay. But wait. What? Yeah. What's Joseph going to think about this? How do you think that her mind is going? I mean, first of all, it's an angel. He's talking to me. He tells me this stuff is going on. And now I have to tell Joseph that I might become pregnant out of wedlock by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but if my fiance came to me and said this, you know, we're going to have a lot of talk. So, this is what's going on. Is Joseph going to ask for the end of the betrothment, ask for a divorce, because it would have been considered divorce at this point. Okay, that's how close that contract, that betrothal meant to the Jewish people. Would he go to the courts? Because if he did, she could be stoned. Literally killed for breaking the... Let's go back and see what Matthew has to say about what Joseph... Picking up at verse 19, and we're just going to read through 21. And her husband, see, he's calling her husband, even though they're not married, but they are betrothed. It was still would have been considered a husband. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, so we know that he thought it over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. So here we find out that Joseph is a righteous man, and that's important. He was law-abiding, depending on your translations, righteous man. And in being righteous, he must have also been very, 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 very kind to end the betrothment quietly. Not publicly. He doesn't choose to do it publicly. He's going to do it quietly. He's going to end their betrothal. By showing compassion, he instead decides to do it secretly, to end it quietly, though so as not to disgrace Mary. That's commendable, very commendable. I'm glad that Matthew points that out to us. And like I said, here we find out that Joseph is a righteous man, that he's kind. He chooses not to do that. But I think there's a lot more to unpack. Because I keep putting myself in Joseph's place. We should try to do that, by the way, when we're looking through the Bible. How would I react in this situation, right? How can my betrothed be pregnant without another man being involved? That's what I'm going to think. No matter what, no matter what he thinks, no matter what he's gone through right there, it takes an angel's intervention, a supernatural event, for him to accept her story. It would have taken that for me. It would have taken some miraculous event. And I want you to know that we see that God spoke to Mary directly through the angel. The angel appeared to her, but that with Joseph, it was in a dream. God still speaks to us through his word, through dreams, and through angels and messengers. That's what angel means, messenger. But I want us to remind us of that before we go on any further, because it's going to take a miraculous event for him to believe this. I mean, how would you feel finding out that your betrothed was pregnant and you knew it wasn't you? An angel appears to him in a dream, as with Mary. Joseph is told not to be afraid, as was Mary. I will say this, having an angel appear to me in a dream is a lot easier to swallow, to not be afraid, and that's what I'm talking about, is the fear factor here, is not being afraid. I would much rather have an angel speak to me in a dream, because then I can say, well, I was dreaming. But it lines up with what Mary's telling me, so now I have to believe it, right? The angels or angel, we don't know if there were two separate ones, because it doesn't tell us in Mary, it doesn't tell us in one of them, in Luke, I believe, that Gabriel was that where it was sent there, but it doesn't say that much about who it was in Matthew. So we don't know if it was the same angel or a different one. So we're going to go with one, just so I can get this across better. They were both told, or both the angels, or the angel told both of them to name him Jesus. To name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. Now the name Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, or God saves, to sum it up. So we understand what the name Jesus means, right? And it is the Greek for, I'm going to try to mess this up not too bad, Yehoshua or Yeshua, depending on, it could be either one, right? Which is also translated as Joshua, which I found interesting. It's also translated as Joshua, Yeshua, or Yehoshua, or Yeshua, yeah, is also translated as Joshua. So the Hebrew name Yahweh is salvation, or God save, is a very appropriate name for the Savior of the world, right? If we don't understand the names, we're not getting it. So every time that somebody is saying to Jesus, they go up to him and say, Jesus, they're saying, Yahweh saves. Or God saves. That's my name, God saves. Joshua would have had that same thing, but they made sure in the Bible that we knew the difference between Jesus and the Joshuas that are in the past. I thought that was just very interesting. The angel goes on and tells Joseph that Jesus will save his people from their sins. Yahweh saves. His people are those who are born again and blood bought, citizens of the kingdom who are following Jesus in this world, or I should say, following Jesus to the next world, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we're on that journey together as Christians, Christ followers, who are following our King, our Savior. And you always end up with those wherever. You're going to end up wherever you are following goes. So we keep that in mind. I mean, you think sheep and goats in Matthew 25, which we'll get to later. the goats ended up where? Where they followed the ways of the world and ended up in the fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was prepared for them, not for us. Keep that in mind. Now, in verse 21, the angel told Joseph that the child conceived in Mary was of the Holy Spirit. And the angel told Mary that she would conceive and give birth to a son, and he would be called the Son of the Most High, and that his kingdom would never end. You have to see, you all have to understand, every one of us, that Jesus cannot be your Savior without being your King. Jesus cannot be your Savior without being your King. Let's pick up with Luke in verse 34. And of course, I'm in Matthew. 34. But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Again, Luke's really pushing that. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." The Holy Child will be called the Son of God. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called infertile is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In some of your translations, "I am the Lord's servant." "Behold, I am the Lord's servant," instead of "behold your bondservant." "I am the Lord's servant," which is what we need to understand. She was being the Lord's servant. The Holy Child. The Holy Child. I love that part. I just couldn't go. I kept going back to it. The Holy Child. This is a miraculous conception. And when does life begin? At conception. This is a miraculous conception that leads to the miraculous birth of a holy child who will be called the Son of God. And now we're told that this child will be God with us. Right? That's what we're told. Let's jump back to Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. "Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet," that would be Isaiah, "would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus." So they had no relations as man and wife until after the birth of Jesus. You see, it's only after Mary agrees to all of what she said that the angel departed. And it's only pretty much after what Joseph agrees to that he wakes up and the angel departs, or the angel departs and he wakes up. In all of that, did you catch what changed? Did you catch what changed? Mary will conceive of the Holy Spirit. As I said, this holy child will be called the Son of God now, and this child would be God with us. God with us. God the Son came into this world through miraculous conception and birth to save his people from their sins. And this shows us that Jesus is fully human and fully God. He came into this world born of a woman through the Holy Spirit. So he's both. God himself came into this world. "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she shall name him Emmanuel." Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Not was. not will be, but is right now. Do we truly understand that God is with us, not only as a church, but as individuals of the church? God is with us right here, right now. He resides within the hearts of all who know Him as King and Savior, or as Savior and King, because He has to be both. Jesus, our Emmanuel, is looking to make you a part of His kingdom. Every one of us. He's looking to make those outside the church a part of His kingdom. And that happens, and it's supposed to be happening right here and right now. So that you can carry His kingdom out into the world. Because as citizens of the kingdom, that's what we're to be doing. Don't misunderstand me here. I firmly believe in the United States of America. I serve this country. But we fly a flag over on our flagpole that is the flag of the church, of the Christian flag, because this is His kingdom here on earth. This is an embassy. That's the word I was looking for. This is an embassy of the kingdom. And you are all ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent our King in everything that we say and do. Ooh. I was driving down 94 the other day, and that's all I need to say. We have to be careful on what we say and do. Are you ready and willing to be a part of the kingdom of God here and now? Can you say as Mary did, I am the Lord's servant, may it be according to your word? We have God's word. We know what it says. And if we're not, we should be looking at it. In your worship folders, I have asked Brock to put those two verses right on the front, so that we know that we need to understand what the truth is, and we should be like the Bereans who check it out. I hope and pray that those at home and those here are making sure that what I am saying, what I am preaching, is from the Word, is the truth, that I'm just expounding on what He's already said, right? Need to do that. So, are we going to be like Mary and say, may it be according to your word? And are we going to be like Joseph and do what the Lord commands? Because Mary said, yes, let it be. And Joseph did. So that's two sides to that same coin. We can't just have lip service. We need to step out in faith and do what the word tells us. We need to be doers of the word, to quote James. You see, we live in the day of Emmanuel, God with us. His kingdom come, His will be done. The day of salvation is upon us. Now is the time of God's favor. For He says, at the favorable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Is the life of Christ conceived in you now? As a Christian, God is with you. Period. And He wants what is best for you. Always. Not what's good, but what's best. Sometimes that best has us go through things we don't want to go through. But God uses everything to do what? For our good, right? So He has us go through things that make us stronger, that help us to grow. He wants what's best for us. Are you ready to live that out, knowing Emmanuel, to live Emmanuel Emmanuel out right here and now as a citizen of the kingdom? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Am I willing, because there has to be a want to behind it, am I willing to live knowing that God is with me and I'm a part of His kingdom, that He is both my Savior and my King? Are we willing to be messengers of the gospel of reconciliation, to be those ambassadors for Christ that we're called to be? We have to ask ourselves that all the time. And if you find yourself not ready, then I ask you to come and pray. I ask you to come and pray that God will open your heart and your mind to Emmanuel, God with you. Because He's right there, right now, holding His arms open, and He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. Those of at home, He wants you to be a part of the kingdom. He wants you to know Him as Emmanuel, God with you. And He wants those people out on the street and in these housing areas and in town and in Jackson and in Jackson County and in the state of Michigan and in the United States and throughout all the world. And you know who's supposed to tell them? Raise your hands. All of you. All of us. God is with us. He enables and empowers us. He dwells within our hearts. We are without excuse. So I invite you to come and pray for the strength you need to do what God's calling you to do. Would you join me in prayer? Stand as the praise team comes up. Father, we come before You, thanking You and praising You that You are God and Savior, King and Redeemer. That, Lord, You have blessed us beyond measure with the gift of eternal life that is found in Your Son, Jesus Christ. God saves. God saves. And You have come, Lord, to free us, Your people, to come to save Your people from their sin, us from our sins, Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through You. So help us, Lord, to walk in that way, to be those ambassadors, to go forth knowing, Lord, that You are with us. And I ask this and I give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one of our old hymns. It talks about the kingdom and what we believe. Our hymns are our doctrine. And this is what we believe about the kingdom. It reigns within. That we're a part of it always. So we're going to sing this every now and then till they learn it really well. As do we. Thank you. Thank you. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank You that we're part of a never-ending kingdom. That You have blessed us with Your presence. That You want what's best for us. We thank You, Lord, that we are made citizens of the kingdom the moment we turn and follow You. And that, Lord, You are right there with us. We praise You. We thank You. We ask, Lord, that You be with us in our time of fellowship. We thank You, Lord, for the food that we're about to partake in. We thank You, Lord, for the class that we're going to enjoy after that. And we praise You again in Jesus' name. Amen. Class will start at 1:45. All right. Thank you.